I love evangelists. They're passionate. Here's your fellowship of the unashamed. They're passionate. We need more passion in the body of Christ. One way you can tell true religion is if they're passionate. If you're around people that doesn't have a passion for something, they're probably saved. I'm sure they're saved. But they've not had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Once you have an encounter of Jesus Christ and you meet Him and you understand, my goodness, this thing is so much bigger than me. And I've got a part here. You become passionate about something and it drives you. And not that we're driven by emotions, but emotions is a part of it. And so I love evangelists because out of all the gifts, their passion is probably the most obvious. I don't think they're any more passionate than the other ones, but they're just more obvious just because of the way they're driven and the way they're made. And amen. Before we get into what we're going to do here for a few minutes, I love this story I heard about a Sunday school teacher. She had her class. She said, now class is young kids. I want you to go home tonight, this afternoon, and write a letter to God. And then come back next week and we're going to share it. And they shared it, but there was one young boy's letter that stood out above all the others. The teacher read it, decided to read it aloud, and said, "Dear God, it was an amazing service on Sunday. Wish you had been there." And I thought, wow. So I pray today that God decides to come over these next few minutes while I teach, and He honors us with His presence, and it's not just something that He goes, "Oh, wow, I'm glad I left early." For the last several years, the Lord's given me a word for our church. There's sort of, I don't know if a theme is the right word for the year, but it was something to look out for. Last year it was finances. We talked about it the first Sunday in January and on and off during the year, that the Lord wanted to give us His finances 100%. And the year before that it was fitness, His health. And He usually gives me these words in the fall to meditate on them and think about them. And it's to warn us prophetically of what's coming so that when attacks come in finances, attacks come in fitness, generally it's a little bit more attacks than is normal in that area, for us to be victorious over it. And the word He gave me last fall for this year, 2016, was another F word. This would be the fifth in a row. But it's fear. And Pastor James talked about it however many weeks ago that was, 3 weeks ago, I guess, now. And so, it's fear. Now, why does He give us these words that seem to be negative ahead of time? Two reasons. He shows us these things ahead of time so that when opportunities to fear come. How many opportunities are there now in this world to fear? I mean, they seem to be rising. Financial collapse, terrorism, insecurities, all kinds of things can come up. He shows us these things ahead of time so when this fear comes on us, the Holy Spirit can remind us, I warned you of this. And the reason I warned you ahead of time is so that it would not overtake you and so that you have power over this thing. He told the Israelites before they went into the promised land, you're going to face many enemies, but you're going to overcome them. Because there's our part and then there's His part. And so it's sort of like spiritual reconnaissance. Sort of like military intelligence to know what the enemy is doing. And, you know, one of the more famous fear verses is Psalms 23:4. And I hope that we don't have to incorporate any of this year, but we probably will. And the reason is because He wants us to have victory over it instead of being overtaken by it. Psalms 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. Many times as a Christian, we think these things won't come upon us. They will come upon us, but the Holy Spirit will also come upon us in a greater amount when we turn to Him to walk through that. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, which symbolizes His authority, they will comfort me. And where we are, fear. So when fear, if it starts trying to come upon you in any many myriad of areas, what He's trying to do is take you out. A second reason I think that he shows us this ahead of time is because he wants us to be whole. See, fear reveals areas of our soul where we've not learned to be strong in the Lord and where we've not become trusting in the Lord. I love this verse in Exodus 14:13. This is what he's wanting to do in you and I this year and increase it. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." This is Moses taking them out of Egypt, going into the promised land. See, the fixing on the promised land said, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." One of the things he's wanting to do in us is to increase our faith. See, sometimes fear and circumstances can be so strong that there's nothing we can do in the natural to overcome them. And so what he wants us to do is say, that may be true, but God is stronger and is above. He's supernatural. He can bring in miracles. He can bring in healings. And he's encouraging us to not always look in the natural, but to look first to the spiritual and to say, "Father, you come in and intervene." Because see, where there is fear in us, there's a hold there that will keep us from being all that we want to be. "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." So as that fear is coming upon you, and as that fear is starting to attack you, and it's usually for me is in the middle of the night when everything's quiet. You know, everybody's got their little symptoms, but mine's usually at 3 or 4 in the morning. I'll wake up and it's quiet, and all these scenarios start playing out in my mind. Am I the only one? And so what he's wanting to do when that starts happening is say, "Father, I thank you for victory. I thank you that this very area that he is attacking me is the area of anointing that I'm going to have victory in." And the devil's seeing it and trying to keep us from even taking the first step there. And wherever you're fearful, this is what I want you to think. This is a stealer of my destiny. And this very area is where I am to prosper and succeed at. And the Egyptians you see today, the fear you had today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Fear is a common thing. I was amazed by this. But you know what the number one command in the Bible is? 108 times in the King James. Either fear not or be not afraid. I'm sorry, 103 times. Why is it written so much? Because this is a hold the devil gets on us. And it's always, now listen here, this is good. It's always about the future. Something's happening now and it's going to keep happening in the future or may happen. Yes. See, fear is the counterfeit of the prophetic destiny that the Lord has on your life. It's trying to steal your future before your future even happens. "For I am the Lord your God," Isaiah 41:13 says, "who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." See, when you're in the middle of that fear, if I'm in the middle of this thing at 3 a.m., this thing seems like a gigantic monster. How many of you have been there? It just seems like a giant. I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm going to lose these relationships. I'm going to get sick and never get well. I'm going to whatever. I mean, we go through a zillion things. My kids aren't going to make it. And a lot of times, I'm going to give you 6 things that what the devil is trying to do with this fear. And it really sort of starts out, maybe not always in this order, but it tends to grow. And the first thing he's trying to do is create hopelessness in you. This thing is never going to change. And then a lot of times, it'll start moving into oppression, where it actually is almost like a cloak that you wear. Have you ever seen some people, they're just fearful all the time? Or they've been so fearful of some area in their life, it's almost affected their personality. And you know when you spend enough time around them, you're going to end up on that subject. That's oppression. And I love what Luke 4:18, it's the mission statement of Jesus. He says, this is what he said at the beginning of his ministry. And if you know people that way, if you're that way, even if you're not that way, the devil's trying to get you that way. And this is what Jesus came to do, not to preach great sermons. His sermons were short. Y'all can say, thank God. We all need to learn from that, right? The Sermon on the Mount was the longest teaching that we have recorded. You do that like in 8 minutes or something. But this is what his mission was. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. I have the Holy Spirit because he has anointed me to preach good news. He did preach to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners. Now, there's no recorded place in the Bible he freed prisoners from actual cells. I mean, that could have happened. But he's talking about freedom of those that are oppressed in their mind and their emotions. And recovery of sight to the blind. He did do that physically. He also did that spiritually. To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, when fear comes in, it paralyzes you. It keeps you from moving forward. And that's how it steals your destiny. You're afraid to do anything. And that's from the devil. A lot of times, it can even be a spirit. I have felt a demonic spirit just come my way to enhance my natural fear because he does not want you to keep moving forward. That's why it's a stealer of destiny. The devil would not waste time trying to get you in fear in that whatever that area that you battle if it wasn't important. It causes you, because of that paralysis, you can't hear from God, which means you can't make correct decisions because there's so much noise going on. And ultimately, it causes poverty. Not necessarily financial poverty, it could, but poverty spiritually, poverty in your body. Poverty, which means, what I mean there is you're not prospering like the Lord wants because he's stealing those things. Now, how do you fight this thing? These are some thoughts I had. You may have some other ones. First of all, you have to realize if fear is coming against you, you already have the tools and the experiences in your life you need to overcome. Amen. This is a big deal. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self." There is no situation that you face that you are not prepared to have an answer for as you get before the Lord. If there is a situation that is bigger than you that you could not face, he would not bring it your way. He would not allow it to happen. He would make a detour. You might come back later on it. And we need to remember this. Okay, this fear is coming. The mustard seed of faith that we have inside of us. The truth we have inside of us. I'm going to turn to the Lord. This will not overwhelm me. It overwhelms us when we start thinking that we're not enough. And that a better way to say it is he's not enough inside of us. And we have to realize no temptation, as Corinthians says, comes with... What is it? I've messed it up. No temptation is too strong that you cannot overcome. So if it's coming, he knows it may be tough, but you're strong enough to get through it. And you have to remind yourself that he loves you. This is a big deal. I've heard it preached, and I've preached it in the past, that the opposite of fear is faith. And that faith cures fear. I don't think so anymore. I think faith is a symptom of being not in fear. But what did it say in 2 Timothy? "I have not given you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self." And I'm going to throw out there that I think one of the major reasons or the major things to overcome fear is to understand that its cure is the love of God. Amen. And I use it in the parallel in the physical world. You see little kids... If they think they're going to get afraid, and they're in a good, healthy family relationship, what do? They run to their daddy because they know there's safety there. And they know his love is going to protect them. And it's the same way with us. 1 John 4:17 says this, "In this way, love is made complete among us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love." Let me paraphrase that. Many people do not run to God because they think God is going to punish them. But what does this say in John 3:16? "For God so loved the world, saved the world," and you know, you believe on him, you become saved. And verse 17 says, "I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And there's a lot of wrong theology out there. There's a day of judgment coming, but our judgment is in Jesus Christ. And when we don't run, and so when fear comes, we need to immediately run to the Father. He is not going to punish you. And two things often happen in my life and many Christians' lives is we don't think God is big enough, or two, we don't think God will do it for us. And so we have to, one of the keys to fear is we've got to refocus our mind on who the Father really is. He is here to train us. He is here to disciple us. He is here to love you. I've got three kids. Joshua's got a little boy back here. This is a great example. Joshua will die to make sure that little boy doesn't get hurt. Or Joe or Beth is going to die to make sure Katie over here does not get hurt. It's the same way with a father. They're going to train her. They're going to disciple her. But you're not going to get wasted. And many Christians end up getting consumed by fear because they never run to the Father because they're as scared of the Father. So just get it out of your mind. That's wrong theology, wrong thinking. It may take some time. Maybe you had an earthly father that was a bear and you had never run to him because he was a source of pain. But God the Father's not that way. And so one of the keys to fear is to start running to the Father. Well, I'm scared of him. Just run to him anyway. He's not going to beat you. Just start running to him and pray to him. And this is what I often do. I say, Father, I thank you that nothing is going to overtake me. Nothing is going to consume me. Nothing is going to, you know, there may be some temptations and there may be some trials, but I am not going to be wasted because you're not going to let your sons be wasted. And I'm running to you under your wing and hanging with you. I love this verse, Luke 11:11. Which of you fathers, talking about earthly fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, one thing I have to do, another thing I have to do, is I've talked about this, so I won't dwell on it, is I have to separate myself from the negative. Sometimes my fear is enhanced because all I do is watch Fox News all day long. I like Fox News or CNN. But let me tell you, your spirit is probably, none of our spirits are strong enough to watch 24-hour news all day long and not get depressed. What you feed it, I watch it enough to sort of know the big facts in the news. But I'm telling you, if you watch it 2 or 3 hours a day, there's not too many people I know who won't just plain get depressed. And you have to guard your spirit. And when you start finding yourself getting fearful or depressed, go, is there something I'm feeding? It could be a lot of different things. I just picked news, but it could be a lot of different things. It could be people you hang around. You know, there's some people that may be family, but they're not friends. You don't turn your back on them, but they're more of a ministry case. You follow what I'm saying? And when you get around them, you got to pray in tongues for a little while so that their negativity doesn't rub off on you. You still love them.
Gotcha.
You know, family's supposed to be a safe place, but you know, all the time, it's not always a good influence.
Right.
Another thing to do is start praising Jesus. And that's what I was talking about in the middle of the night. Father, I just praise you. I thank you that David said he'd never seen the righteous begging for bread. I'm not going to be a beggar. You could go on and on. Ezekiel 37. I love Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. It's talking about the dry bones. Ezekiel had a vision of dry bones. And you know, all of us, no matter how spiritual we may be, have areas of our lives that are dry bones. These are things they once walked, they once talked, they once were healthy, and now we throw them in the closet and try not to think about them. But you know, sometimes God resurrects these things. Why? Because they were there to begin with because we needed them and the world needs us to deal with it. And at times he'll resurrect it and go, okay, those dry bones were there. It's time to clean out the closet. My God, those things are so dry and dusty. Well, we start prophesying over them. You can go back and read Ezekiel 37. God did this with Ezekiel and showed him all these dry bones. And he said, start prophesying them. What does that mean? Let's just take finances. If you're being attacked by finances, Father, I thank you that it's your will for me to be prosperous. Now, let's keep that in balance. There's so many weird teachings in the charismatic church. That doesn't mean you're going to drive Bentleys, okay? But he wants it so that you're not stressed out all the time. And he wants it so that you can be a blessing to your kids and your grandkids and your spouse. And you say, Father, I thank you that even right now, you know, I got the bill collectors calling, but in Jesus' name, as I follow you, as I apply the word, as I walk through this, I thank you that this debt's gone. I thank you that there's prosperity in my life. You go, that's weird. It is weird. Why? But when you think about it in the natural. But in the supernatural, it's super. And see, we as Christians have a hard time doing something that requires God to show up for it to happen. And that's where we're living not really the Christian faith. We're saved. The Christian faith requires the natural and the supernatural. And he requires us to do stuff that requires him to show up. And so I'm going to pray over you. And then we're done. We are going to close out with a 4-minute video. I love this song. Tiffany Beavers is the one who introduced it to me a little while ago. And it's just on YouTube. How many of you heard that song, John Waller, Our God Reigns? It's a great song. It's an old song, probably 10 years old. Anyway, it's just a little YouTube video. We're going to close with that. And then if you want prayer, we're going to have prayer over here. But I'm telling you, this year, if fear comes, when fear comes, it's showing us where we're going to be victorious. Amen. And that's a part about being a warrior. Yes. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that there is victory there this year. I thank you that there is overcoming there this year. I thank you that you are teaching us to be warriors and not just always on, you know, succumb to battles. In Jesus' name. Amen. He's going to play this.